Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Occasionally there comes in a reading, one that you'd rather not preach on. This is one of them. It's a difficult parable. It's hard to hear. So what I would like to do is experiment a little with the way that our ears hear things, and perhaps then the way that the world outside of the church hears the church. But first, you guys know, most of you probably know John 3:16 pretty well. Not going to ask you to recite it. That's like a pop quiz nobody wants to have. Because what if you get that one wrong? Ooh. But John 3:16 says that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Our gospel reading is a tough reading when we hear it up against John 3:16 and 17. Because when we hear this text of the vineyard, it's easy to hear judgment. And there is some there. There's no doubt about it. When we hear what Jesus says, as he says, "When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" The "they" here in verse 41, the "they" is the Pharisees that he's talking to. It's not his disciples, it's not just the crowds, it's a particular group, the Pharisees. And so he's asking the Pharisees, after he's told this outlandish tale of a vineyard that is occupied by these tenants who are just horrible. They're horrible tenants. These are people you would not like renting your apartment or renting your house. You would not want them there because they're horrible people. Because when it comes time to give up the fruit that they're there to take care of, they kill the servants who have come to collect it. Not only once, but twice. And then when the son of the owner, the master of the house, his son comes to collect, they think that by killing him, they're somehow going to get the vineyard. It makes no sense, and it's a horrible thing. So he asks the Pharisees, what's the owner going to do to those tenants? And with all righteous anger and judgment, they say he will put those wretches out to a miserable death, and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. Right. Eye for an eye. He's going to take care of those guys, and he's going to kill those guys and take his vengeance, and then give the vineyard to other tenants who might actually do the job. Jesus then confronts them with the scriptures. "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes." Now comes the words we need to hear a couple of ways. Now, if we read this with all judgment, with all anger, with all righteousness, we can read it as him saying, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." We've seen the guy on the corner, right? Holding his Bible, shouting, you know, "Repent, for, you know, you're going to burn in hell. You're going to, you know, be destroyed." You know that guy that stands on the street corner shouting judgment. When we hear Jesus speaking these words of judgment in anger at the Pharisees, we can get a little uncomfortable. When the world hears the church, either shouting from the street corner or simply going about their day, they can hear anger and judgment. Gesundheit, John. They can hear all kinds of things that maybe we don't intend, but they can hear it nonetheless. Yesterday, Cindy and I were driving down Willamette, and we got to 18th, and there was a guy on the corner holding his Bible. He had a speaker and a loudspeaker, and you thought, maybe that's what he's doing. You know, he's there shouting judgment, he's shouting anger, he's shouting about, you know, condemnation and damnation and fire and brimstone. But he wasn't. We were able to hear his message. And he was speaking words of gospel, that Jesus loves you. Those were the words that he would say, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus did all of this stuff for you. He was speaking gospel words, but how was he speaking them?
On a microphone, with his loudspeaker, and holding his Bible.
And on the opposite corner, around the corner from him, was somebody waving a trans flag as if in protest to what he was saying about how Jesus loves you. This is the confusion in our world when the message has gotten so distorted and so twisted and so all over the place that nobody can make heads or tails of it, whether they should protest or support. We don't even know because we can't listen. Because all we hear is the tone. There's a sitcom that our family watches, and one of the episodes, the two characters are shouting and their angry voices, but they're saying all kinds of nice things, shouting and using angry voices, and Jess, the main character, says, I hear what you're saying, but you're saying them so angry, I don't know what to make of it. It's a hard thing for us. How do we hear not judgment and anger? But how do we hear gospel and love? Well, we go back to John 3:16 and 17, right? Because Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. Could he have? Absolutely. As creator of heaven and earth, as God on earth, he had every right and rule to judge the earth and condemn as much as he wanted. But he even says, that's not why I'm here. I'm here to seek and save the lost. I'm here out of love, not out of condemnation. I'm here for salvation. I'm here to rescue. I'm here to deliver. I'm here to help. I'm not here to hurt and to break and to condemn and to split and to... I'm not here to do those things. Even though Jesus later would say, that's what's going to happen because people will be divided, that my intention is I came to not to condemn, but to save. So in our readings, when we see Jesus interacting with the Pharisees who are all about condemnation and righteousness according to the law and doing things on the thin line, and Jesus is trying to help them to see that they are wrong and need to rethink the way that they're doing things. And here, Jesus is speaking to these people. He's speaking to them in love. Let's hear this again. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And the Pharisees said to them, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. And Jesus says to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. The heart of Christ, I don't know how Jesus said it, right? I only have the text, kind of like when we send a text. You don't have the tone unless you send it in all caps. This was not, well, this was written in Greek, so it was written in all caps. So I don't have the voice that Jesus delivered this message in. But if Jesus came to save and not condemn, why would he speak in anger? Why wouldn't he speak in a tone of plea? Because it's the Pharisees he came to straighten out. He came to seek and save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's, the Pharisees are part of that. He doesn't want them to be condemned. He doesn't want them to die. In fact, God often says, I take no pleasure in the death of anyone. I would rather they turn and live. Jesus' whole ministry, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. It's a plea. He didn't come to sling firebolts and lightning bolts and condemnation. He didn't come to do that. He came with a plea to the people of God and to the children of Israel and to all those he encountered, saying, repent and be saved. Not repent or burn. There's a big difference, isn't there? If I were to say, repent and be saved, for Jesus loves you. Or if I were to say, repent or burn in hell because you're a sinner, I would never say that. How do we hear? How do we hear the gospel message? How does the world hear the gospel message through the church? What do you hear in the words of Jesus? Do you hear condemnation for our sinfulness? Do you hear the heavy hand of judgment giving you an ultimatum? Or do you hear the plea to repent? Whatever it is you're involved in, messed up with, whatever it is, it's the plea to repent and be saved. That salvation is here for you today. That the Lord comes to you today in the supper. He comes for you today in the supper. He comes for you today in the word. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guide and keep our hearts always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.